How does this sound? Does it sound too loud?
No.
Okay. You good?
All right. Do I sound too
Oh, crud. I realized I pushed the record button already.
Oh.
I totally forgot about that.
About pushing the record button?
Yeah. We own.
Let's do it. Oh. This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 99, we're talking about the holiday blues, the feelings that happen when the holidays are over. It's over. Now what?
The big letdown. What did you call it? The big sad.
The big sad. When you have, because sometimes when I'm talking to kids, I'm like, you're having some big feelings right now. Like, yeah, I'm like, I get that. So
if you listen to this when it comes out, it is December 26th.
Which means it is Boxing Day.
Boxing Day. Yep. That's what I was going to say, too. We don't celebrate Boxing Day in the United States, but they do in Ireland.
Oh, very cool. Mm-hmm. So what is Boxing Day exactly?
It's the day after Christmas.
That's it? It's like a name that you give to the day after Christmas?
I don't know why. It's called Boxing Day. Maybe because it was the day that all the boxes from the Christmas presents go outside.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I always thought of it as like the sport of boxing.
Oh, like this is, now it's the time for you to put on some gloves and.
But I don't know why it's actually called Boxing Day, but it is a day off in Ireland. They basically, the whole country takes a full week off.
Oh, for Christmas.
Yeah. You know, we don't celebrate like the 12 days of Christmas here, but.
Oh, I thought that was just a song.
No.
But they take 12 days off over there?
It is from December 25th to January 6th, and that is the day of Epiphany.
Excellent. See, this is how much I'm not, like, I am not familiar with the Advent and the
right,
whole liturgical
Right, we don't have, like, a liturgical calendar. But the Catholic, Ireland is predominantly Catholic, and so they would follow a more liturgical calendar and Mass, and so they would have Advent and then Christmas. Like right now wouldn't be Christmas season. Mm-hmm. It's Advent season. Mm-hmm. And then Christmas starts on December 25th.
Okay.
And runs for 12 days.
Gotcha.
To January 6th, which is Epiphany.
Which I think is really interesting to kind of dive into this podcast because for us, Christmas ends, you know.
When the last present is open.
When the last present. We're not even the end of the 25th. It's like whenever. Yeah. Oh, Christmas morning is done, and then you have the rest of Christmas Day, and you're like, what do I do?
Oh, okay, so my family drags it out.
Oh, I remember. Okay, so tell us for the listeners at home, but now I remember.
So I don't remember when we first started doing this. When Mooli talks about it now, I think we didn't have a lot of presents one year. It was like a meager year.
Hey, people got those.
And but I don't ever remember thinking of it that way because our grandparents would come and they would add a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
And like little knick-knacky things, but it's just still more to unwrap, right?
Oh, man, my grandmother loves doing that. She wraps every single bottle of nail polish, every bar of chocolate. It's all beautifully wrapped.
So Mooli numbered all of the presents, and then we put the numbers in a mug, and you would draw a number, and then that was the number that got opened. I know people do this in all different ways. Like some people, you just go around the circle and open one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. But we did open one thing at a time, but it was just like you draw a number. So it was fun. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we still do that.
Okay.
But now, as we've gotten older, my middle sister, Jess, loves Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so we wouldn't open presents until it got dark outside.
Oh, like,
so
like
we
the
opened
night
them on
of
the night of Christmas. And so Christmas Day, we like,
oh, it's like
have a leisurely breakfast.
Yeah.
We would, you know, have our Christmas, whatever Christmas dinner was going to be. But a lot of times we'll go see a movie on Christmas Day.
Okay.
So that takes up a big chunk of time. And then we would open presents after when we get back from the movie.
Gotcha.
But she wants it to be dark outside, which does add to the ambiance.
Yes.
Of opening presents.
Well, the anticipation also throughout the day helps with the excitement. And I've always also thought, you know, like when we think of the nativity story, I always imagine it happening at night. So like having Christmas at night and like the gift of Jesus being brought to us like that, I get that vibe.
I kind of like, I mean, we don't do it this way now, but I think if I did have kids in my own family, I think I would want to separate, find a way to separate the commercial part, like the gift part of Christmas from Christmas, like the, what it means. And so I know a lot of people open presents like on Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day is a totally different thing. So
yeah,
it's cool to, and when do you do stockings?
Well, we do stockings and presents.
But when?
Like
when
in
do
the
you
morning.
Open? In the, so I saw
everyone's
someone,
in their PJs.
I saw someone on Instagram being like, when they got married, their husband's family does stockings last. And she was like, that is blasphemy to do stockings last.
Because everyone has a tradition.
Everyone commenting like, we do them last, we do them first. And it was like 50-50 split.
Oh.
I thought it would be more, we always did them first. And Santa brought our stockings and things that were under our stocking, but Santa didn't bring the wrapped presents.
I gotcha. So actually last night, Richard and I chose to celebrate, have our own like little personal Christmas. Because we're not very
just
good
on
at
a Wednesday.
Just on a Wednesday. Well, because we're going to be doing lots of things over the weekends and things. And we had gifts we wanted to give each other. And of course, you know, treat the animals that we have in our house. And I gave him his stocking last because he knew what he was getting under the tree, but he didn't know what was in his stocking. So I wanted him to end on a little mystery and surprise.
Yeah.
But I mean, you do you. Like, I guess I've never felt like, oh, we're doing stockings first or last. Oh, I've never felt that way.
We always did them first in the present. The big thing that like Santa brought wouldn't be wrapped.
Interesting. All right. Hey, you know, less work.
But we couldn't come out of our room until we were told that we could. Because, you know, you had to get the video set up, camera and all that.
I love that. Anyways, okay, so we've told you a little bit about our Christmases. So let's talk about, like, the Christmas, like, what happens after Christmas.
Yeah, the letdown.
So I did a little bit of research, and the National Alliance on Mental Health, or NAMI, says that these, you know, holiday blues, it defines it as feelings of anxiety or stress that come up around the holiday season that may be due to unrealistic expectation or memories connected to the season. And I think this also helps to explain the feelings that you get after a holiday or something is done, because you're reflecting back, the thing is over, and now you're comparing year-to-year memories and nostalgia and all of that, and it feeds into some of your holiday blues. I have some other reasons and thoughts as to why we get the, oh, man, it's over, and that feeling, but we can get into those in a moment.
Well,
after.
What the thing that you read isn't even about the holidays being over. It's just the holiday, like just the anxiety that the whole season can create.
Which I think that is what feeds into the holiday, like when it's done, because you don't have the, well, I need to keep my spirits up because it's Christmas time or it's the season. And so then what you're left with is all of the things you were still feeling during the holiday season, but without the overlay of like parties and things to do and the busyness, and all that you're left with is the stress and all of that. Cause that just stuff doesn't just go away. It's still there. But what are your thoughts?
Which is what maybe makes it different than like another time. Well, I kind of went at it a whole different way.
As
I was
we
thinking
do. Yeah,
of
I love
just
it.
Any letdown after a big thing, and like, hey, let's talk about the letdown now, because yes, Christmas was a big thing. So I came up with a couple of other things that I think create a big sad, like a letdown too. So it can be a holiday.
Sure.
It can be your birthday. It's why I love my birthday being when it is, because Christmas is right after it. So like I always get sad kind of at the end of my birthday, but then I'm like, oh, but tomorrow is Christmas Adam. And then it's Christmas Eve and then it's Christmas. So I like don't have to be sad for very long that my birthday is over.
Yeah.
Going on like a big vacation that you've been planning. Reading a really good book.
Oh,
and then when the book is over and you're like, oh my gosh, that book was so good. And then you get sad that the book is over.
Oh, I get some of these feelings when I've had a really good meal and I'm like, oh no, I only have a few bites of this really good meal left.
Yeah. using up the last of just your favorite fabric.
Oh, this hits my soul. I get that.
Like, if, you know, my sisters come to visit me, and then when it's time to leave.
Yes.
So, like, there's a lot of things outside of just, Christmas is over.
I agree.
Where I think that this overlays. So, I was thinking of it also in the, not just the holiday season, mm-hmm. but, like, anything. I think what makes it tricky for Christmas is we have, it's so many things building up. You're delaying the letdown. Mm-hmm. So, like, first, you know, we have Halloween. Like, it really starts in October for some people. Like, you, for you especially, like, October 1.
Oh, it's holiday time.
Yeah.
Sometimes even in, like, after like, September 22nd, I'm like, it's spooky season, people. It's now the first day of fall.
First day of fall.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's also my husband's birthday, so it's like, his birthday, and then I'm like, now spooky season.
We celebrated Richard. Now I can celebrate the rest of the year.
Yes. But you're right. You have, like, this team up, this trifecta. Uh-huh.
Like, it just keeps delaying the fact that you...
Because, like, oh, we've got Thanksgiving next.
Yeah, you just keep getting higher and higher and higher.
Yeah.
And so then after Christmas, it's a long way to fall.
Man, you know, poor New Year's Day doesn't get much in the way of, like, celebration. Because, like, the big letdown...
Not New Year's Day, but New Year's Eve does.
It does, but I'm thinking, like, there's a lot of people that have a lot of letdown after Christmas that can't be then picked up for, like, celebrating a new year. And now I'm wondering why that happens.
Well, I wonder if it almost makes it easier for New Year's to not be something you get sad about. Like, because you just had this big release, this big letdown, the big sad on after Christmas. And so then New Year's Eve and New Year's Day is kind of like a fresh start.
You know, now that I'm thinking about this, Halloween doesn't have a lot of traditions save for kids going and trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of free-flowing. Thanksgiving is a little bit more structured around, all right, we're going to have a nice meal together. But then Christmas has all of these structured traditions. Now they differ, obviously, depending on when you open up your stocking. Mm-hmm. But it's so highly structured that it's like we're building up to this almost ritualistic holiday, and then we go back down to, all right, now we're doing New Year's Eve, and that can be celebrated in any way that you want. And so perhaps that structure and that ritual leads people to have certain expectations of the holiday. We're doing the same things every year. We're doing, you know, the same movements and going through the motions, but I'm not feeling the same way. Or, you know, maybe that leads to some disappointment around the holiday itself. I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
Like, so there's more potential for disappointment around Christmas than, like, potential for disappointment around Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. Yeah.
There's also some structure to Thanksgiving that doesn't happen at Christmas. Like, Thanksgiving is always on a Thursday. Like, mm-hmm. you always, like, you know what that whole week is going to look like, in a sense.
Yep.
And I wish that we had some of that around Christmas. Like, but Christmas is always bouncing around on what day it's going to be. And it's, like, confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I wonder, like, what's the most, I wouldn't say, like, efficient day to have Christmas. But now it makes me wonder, like, what is the best day of the week to have Christmas on?
Oh, I think it's probably Thursday.
Really?
Because if you get, then you could take, if you don't get Christmas Eve off, you could, but I feel like, I don't know if people get Christmas Eve off or not. It would give you the same day off structure as Thanksgiving, because you could get, like, a Thursday and a Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. That was just a little,
because you're still going to get a day, but I think it's the worst if it is on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're working a job that, like, you only get one day off.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're a nurse or something like that.
Well, they're not even going to get Christmas Day. Like, you still have to work. But, like my mom, Mooley works for the city, so I don't know if she gets Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off, but, like, she doesn't get, if Christmas is on a Wednesday, then she's not going to get Thursday and Friday off unless she takes the day. Yeah. So if you're traveling at all, you kind of have to take vacation days around Christmas.
There you go. All right. Well, anyways. So Christmas should be on a Thursday.
I get like a Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
Depending on, but I mean, I've never had a job that, I mean, I worked retail. When I worked at Starbucks, I think I worked on Christmas one day, 1 year. Anyway, like I have worked on Christmas before.
There you go.
And then now, I mean, we do what we want.
Woohoo. Thank goodness for make do.
So one of the thoughts I had is that it's not just the event being over. Mm-hmm. It's all the anticipation leading up to it. So whether we're talking about Christmas or your birthday or a vacation or a really good book, it's like all of the anticipation and the time that goes into that thing, planning that thing, experiencing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is part of what you're mourning when it's over too.
Yes. And I think the mourning is often made worse if the thing that you're planning for didn't lead up to your expectations. Like it rained all through your vacation or your Sonic drink isn't fizzy. And you
oh my gosh. That's what happened yesterday.
Yes.
It was the worst Sonic. It was like a race Sonic drink instead of a BB Cap Sonic drink.
Those are two, for those of you who are not local, those are two main streets here in Searcy. So yeah, you have these like high expectations. And I think those high expectations are set by Christmas movies, songs, any sort of media, and just by the people that are around you. You feel like you are not being a good human being if you're not enjoying this time of year.
Also, I think there's a shift from like the childhood and the youth part of Christmas that is pure joy and pure merry and bright and pure excitement to like the adult side of it. That is, it's a lot of work. There are these expectations. Like, you don't have to try very hard to make it magical for a six-year-old.
You don't. And I think, well, and I'm thinking about people who, even as they grew up, they didn't have magical Christmases. So they experience, you know, as adults, they experience Christmases of sadness that it's over, but also sadness that they didn't get to experience the magic as a kid. Because not everyone was as fortunate as we were. At Christmas time, you know, maybe they only had one gift and so it wasn't very, they didn't get that sort of same magical feeling. I mean, shoot, I felt a little bit of this when I'm watching Christmas movies and I'm like, man, these kids' houses and these kids' Christmases look a whole lot different and a lot more fun than mine, but it's a movie. It's not real.
I always felt that way about people that had a staircase. Because they could, like, slide down the banister on Christmas morning or something.
Dude, wouldn't that be nice? Now, I did have a staircase in my house, but it had, like, a sharp L turn, and each of the posts, like, had a big thing. So, like, there wasn't any sliding down the banister. Not unless you want to get stopped along the way.
I thought people that had two-story houses were rich.
I mean, you might be right.
I mean, that was like a, if you had a two-story house or if you had a pool.
Oh, yeah. People who had pools, you were bougie.
Mm-hmm. And if you had snacks that were just in the pantry, like a free for all, like gushers or cookies or ding dongs, like snacks that were just out in the open.
Where were your snacks?
We didn't have them.
Oh,
we would have eaten all of them. I mean, we stayed at home by ourselves. If my mom had bought like a pack of cookies, they would have been gone in a day. So we just like didn't have snacks like that. We would have had like fruit cup.
Yeah, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, so I mean we had snacks in the house, but maybe she was able to keep an eye on us. My mom's probably gonna listen to this and tell me exactly what happened, but I mean, I remember there being snacks, but then knowing like, oh, okay, it's, you know, I can have one snack after school, but that's it. Oh, maybe I don't know. Anyway,
that's a different topic.
We're very tangential today. I hope y'all are enjoying this as much as we are.
Our brains are already on holiday mode.
Yes. So going back to like the big sad, as we're calling it, the letdown. these are also times where things are out of, they're out of rhythm with our life. We're not doing our regular structured thing. If you're going on vacation, you're going out enjoying a delicious meal or whatever. You're getting out of your typical structure. And so sometimes that can mess with you just like physically in your body, whether you're eating a lot of different food, whether on vacation or on holiday. Maybe you're consuming a little bit more alcohol or caffeine than you're used to. That can kind of mess with your brain chemistry as you're trying to go back to a normal routine.
Maybe you're not pooping regularly because you're not on your home potty.
There you go.
You're on a travel potty.
Some people have shy sphincters. It's okay.
I don't poop when I travel.
There you go. So I get that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a thing. But there's also the like, all right, after everything is settled, the bills start coming in for all of the things that you enjoyed over the holiday season. And maybe you've had to say no to a lot of things because you've been so busy. Like you haven't been able to see friends or family, or maybe your work is keeping you from that. Specifically around the holidays, but maybe, you know, after a big event, you're like, you know, because I was prepping for that big event, I didn't have the time that I wanted to spend with friends or doing what I would actually like to be doing.
I think the opposite can be true too, that because it's the holiday season, you've been seeing people all the time. Mm-hmm. Like you're celebrating with every little friend group, or you're spending more time because there's 12,000 events happening around town. And so you're getting together with all of your friends to go to all of those events. And then after that's over, everyone goes back to their normal, and seeing like, each other every few days isn't part of the normal.
And then you're left isolated. Mm-hmm. I think that's true too. So, I mean, there's any number of reasons why you could be feeling the big sad after holidays, an event, whatever it may be. But how do we deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you have any ideas?
Yes. So we also... this is not just because I wasn't thinking of it just Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was also another thing that had happened for Make Do recently was like Giving Tuesday. That was a big event that we had planned for. That was actually like just the start of giving season, but it was the big like public part of it.
We made an effort. It was the big day where we were only focused on that.
And we surpassed our goal, but also we could have not.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have brought about different feelings. Lemonade, or when we planned like our birthday party, any big event we've been planning at Make Do, I think some of this stuff translates to that too. But the first thing that I think is helpful is that you already have on your calendar something else you can look forward to.
Mm.
So it's not... when Christmas is over, you're like, oh, Christmas is over. What's next? Like before Christmas even happens, you know that for New Year's, you're doing X. Mm-hmm. Or at the end of January, you're doing this thing. Like you already have something that you can get excited about.
Yeah. And I don't even think it has to be like another big event like Christmas, like New Year's Eve or something like that.
Yeah.
It can be... I'm going to have a Saturday where I can have 2 hours to myself. And that might be something that is enough to be like, to get you through the holiday.
Well, I think that's a different category because we just talked about how part of what makes, brings about the big sad with Christmas is all the energy and anticipation and excitement that is going into it. And so I think having something else that you can be pouring anticipation and excitement and planning and that into, that's specifically what
some
I'm
of the
talking
planning.
About.
But I mean, there are times where I'm like, ooh, I'm going to get a whole morning to myself. And I work up enough anticipation about that, that it's able to get me through. But I hear what you're saying about, you know, maybe you need something more structured to look forward to.
Right. I think because rest is something else that's on my list. And so that's what, to me, what you're talking about. Like, I think it's good to schedule like big rest after something like this. But if one thing that is exciting to you about Christmas is like, oh, I had so much fun planning everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just need something else like that on your calendar.
Yeah.
Like when I go home to visit family and I leave, it's always easier to leave when I know I'm coming back in 3 weeks mm-hmm. for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm talking about.
I gotcha.
Knowing, oh, I get to, hey, next week and I actually don't have anything planned is a different kind of amazing.
All right. Cool. Very cool.
What's yours?
Just setting reasonable expectations. Like, expect that after a big holiday, you are going to feel sad. Mm. Don't expect not to feel sad.
Or, like, try to make it not happen.
Mm-hmm. Just allow yourself to feel the feelings and know that those feelings will pass. I felt this so hard when I was a teenager. It just felt like everything was going to last for, like every emotion was going to last forever. Mm. I was going to be forever sad because I found out my crush does not like me or was dating someone else. Or I was going to be angry forever. My friend was never going to talk to me again because we had a fight. But as I got older, I realized that those feelings will pass after a while. Mm. And we have to expect the same things of ourselves when we're going, you know, coming out of some big holiday. Like, yeah, give yourself time to be sad. Be like, oh, I'm kind of moping a little bit because I'm sad that Christmas is done. You know, don't make such harsh expectations for yourself. Like, all right, I'm a robot. I've done the partying. Now I have to switch back exactly to the same routine that I was doing before then, before all this planning and stuff happened. Because that's not how humans work.
I think one thing that's nice about Christmas is one of the other things is rest. I think it's kind of built into the season in the sense that the days are longer. I mean, the days are shorter, mm-hmm. so nights are longer. I think there's expectation that stuff kind of slows down between Christmas and New Year. Mm. Like, I wouldn't expect my insurance office to necessarily be available, or like if I would just expect for productivity and things to slow down a little bit. And so that, I lost my train of thought because I got distracted by someone out there. So I don't even remember what you had said. But, you're saying to let yourself feel the feelings.
Yeah. Feel the big sad.
And I think that we do kind of have a transition from Christmas because of New Year. Like, stuff doesn't really pick up full steam again mm-hmm. before New Year. So it is this nice little transition week.
Yeah.
Before you have to get back into full blown. Especially if you have kids that are still in school. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still home on vacation? Christmas break.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm glad that exists to have this sort of this transition time already exists. So why not utilize that to allow yourself to feel the feelings? Mm-hmm. Mope a little bit. It's okay to mope. But like, give yourself all right, once I've had 24 or 48 hours or, you know, this little transition time to mope, then you can start getting back into and doing some of the other things we talked about. Like, all right, remember that thing that I planned for myself after Christmas? That's going to happen, and now I can look forward to that. But don't, skip to that if what you're feeling is sadness or, you know, disappointment or whatever. Because I think that's another thing that happens after the holidays. You're disappointed because it didn't go how you wanted it to. So set reasonable expectations. Allow yourself to be sad.
Yeah, we've talked about rest. My last one is a fresh start. So I don't know if this relates. I don't know that I experience disappointment or sadness around the holidays like what I'm hearing you describe. Mm-hmm. It's more like it's deflated. Like, this thing I was excited about is now popped. Mm. And then what? It's not ever, I don't know. Like, yeah, I think it's a little different what I'm feeling. Like if I talk about this in terms of finishing a good book or a vacation being over or something like that, it's nice to just move on to something fresh. Mm. And you don't have to linger. I'm not, like you said, give yourself some time. I think mm-hmm. that can happen with the rest right after, you know, you're giving yourself a buffer, and then you get to start something new. I actually like when we take the Christmas tree down and give it a good clean. Or like, I'm ready. I told Madison I want to have our Christmas decorations down here so that when we come back, when Christmas is over, we're like walking into the studio and we're like ready for the new year with like a fresh start. So sometimes letting the, I'm going to use this just because I don't know what else to say. Letting the mess of that big thing linger can make those feelings linger too.
I hear what you're saying, but let me offer a counterpoint. I think when we, you know, because some people like to leave up their decorations quite a bit. I think leaving them up can kind of help you reminisce on the good memories of things that have happened. Like, man, you look back and you think, okay, I'm sad that it's over, but man, we had a really good game of dominoes that night. Or, you know, oh, you know, just 2 days ago, we were sitting around that tree and someone got a hilarious gag gift and you get to like reminisce on that. And then as you are taking your decorations down, it's kind of like you're kind of doing a little bit of grieving and putting to bed those feelings. So you give yourself like, you leave them up for the sadness for a little bit and then you get to put them away. And that, like you were saying, it kind of gives you that fresh start, but like that putting it away can also be cathartic. Whereas if you do it before the time has happened, it kind of feels, maybe it feels like you're not giving yourself enough time. But again, this
well,
is
that is
all
why
personal.
I did preface it with give yourself the time that you need. I'm not saying, like some people, as soon as the last presents open, they're like cleaning up the tree.
Yeah.
Just like people have different traditions for when they put their tree up. I think you are going to have a different rhythm for how your family, I mean, when you put your decorations out, like, I think everybody has different expectations or traditions for when everything gets put away too. Like the last time I had a tree, this is why I don't put a tree up anymore at my house. It stayed up till like April. I just didn't ever deal with it.
What about at your parents' house or like when you were growing up? When did the tree go away?
It'll go away like probably around on New Year's Day. But like I said, like I'm not sad that Christmas is over because I also love the new year. Like I like planning for like a whole new year. When I was little, I was sad Christmas was over because then it meant you had to go back to school and you had to, you know, oh, my birthday's over. I have to wait a whole nother year for all of that. But I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah.
I think what I mean by a fresh start too is let's not talk about Christmas because I think we have different feelings about it. Like if, when I come home from a trip, if I will just unpack my suitcase, like wash those clothes, unpack my suitcase, get everything put up. I don't do that, y'all. Like I'm still living. Some things are still packed from when I went home for Thanksgiving, but that can help transition into getting on with your life. Like you said, it can be a part of the cathartic process.
Yeah. You know, you talked about how we cleaned off your big calendar in your office and how much you enjoyed that. I don't share in those same feelings. I think this is where you and I differ quite a bit on like, oh, the new year excites me. It really, you know, it really gets me going. For me, the January feels really like an arbitrary place to start the new year. I don't, like, it just doesn't feel like a good time to start things fresh. I know that that's how our calendar works, but, like, for me personally, it doesn't give me, like, the newness is not there yet. Probably because we're in the middle of winter. So I don't get excited for the new year or, like, having a fresh calendar or something like that. So for me, times of getting to reminisce, I guess, makes some of the transition a little bit easier. Like remembering things helps me get over the transition into the new year or transitioning into something new, you know?
I think that's all part of it, the same thing. I like the start of any new season. So whether that is, like I used an academic calendar for a long time, like even after I was out of school. So my like fresh calendar didn't start on January 1. It started August 1. Like at McDo, we kind of do little planning sessions, you know, each season. So we do it kind of three times a year. So like, We'll plan the spring, which we're in the midst of now, mm-hmm. and then we'll plan summer. Like that, to me, that gets, I get the same excitement about planning summer as I do, let's plan January. Like, I think for me, it's not so much, oh, it's January. This is where I'm starting my new year. Mm-hmm. It's, this is where the new year starts. Mm-hmm. So this is, like, this is the routine. This is what we do because this is when the year starts. Running a business, the year ends December 31st. Mm-hmm. So my work is significantly different in January. My workflow.
And it's the, like, it gets flipped. There's like a turnover.
I like the tasks. I like, as a business owner, the January tasks. Mm-hmm. I've never been like a resolution person or new year, new you. I hate that crap. It's not that.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But I do love, like, hey, we made it through another year. We get to clean off the calendar and we have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we got to renumber it.
We got to renumber it. We got to put new stuff up.
Because we're back
there.
To January.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, it isn't the, oh, January 1 is the time that everything starts fresh.
Mm-hmm.
It is the time everything starts fresh because we're back at it. But it could, you're right, it is arbitrary. It could be any other time.
Yeah. So. Good to know.
That was all mine.
Oh, excellent.
Fresh start was my last thing. And also, to like, the fresh start at Christmas, like right now, end of year, the fresh start is, hey, it's the new year. Mm-hmm. But it could also be starting a new book. If what you're sad about is that your last book was over, you give yourself time to mourn those friendships that are now gone until you reread the book.
Yeah.
And you like start, you have that fresh start, or it really has nothing to do with calendar.
Yeah. So, my last thing is, think about the things that you really enjoyed about the holiday season that you're getting ready to miss and figure out where you can, you know, implement those into your life now that the holiday season is over. Mm. Do you really miss getting together with those friends? You know, go ahead and find a time to get together. Just because there, you know, there's not a million different things to go and do, you know, you can still go and find something to do. If you're missing out on like all of the special treats and things like that, you can have gingerbread any time of year. It doesn't have to be, just be at Christmas. And if that's what you love, you know, no one says that on January 20th, you can't have gingerbread.
Yeah.
So
do you mean gingerbread?
As one of our kids, as some of our kids like to say, the genderbread. So yeah, just find those things that you do like about the holiday. Is it festive dressing? Well, then maybe you need to go and get yourself an, you know, a festive Valentine's Day something or other.
Yeah. You know, I think this is in the same vein of my first tip of like what was next and having mm-hmm. something else on your calendar that was exciting, because yeah, I think about my sister a lot with this because she loves planning things. So that
is this the same sister that loves Christmas?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's part of the excitement. And so she, I think what you're saying is, what is it that you love about it
mm-hmm.
and find ways to continue that on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah. So that's what I try to do is like, as an adult, I feel weird, like making little events. Like when I wanted people over for my birthday, I was like, does this make me like a child if I have my own birthday party? Hmm. But what I wanted was I wanted people to come over and hang out. I didn't necessarily want to, for it to be about me. It was important to me to have people come over and hang out. So I just made that happen. Or, you know, oh, well, wouldn't it be really cool if we had a costume party? Well, you can do that any time of year. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just have to be Halloween. Like whatever you love, you can justify doing that just because you love it.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to wait for Halloween or Christmas or a certain time of year.
Yeah.
Do it now.
So. Sometimes it can be nice to spread it out anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like being really busy. And so the holidays can feel really busy in a way that I don't like. So I think that's part of why I like January, is because it feels slow.
Well, and it still has all of the things you love. You've got like, it's kind of dark and cloudy yeah. outside. It's cold, but now you don't have to worry about.
Well, the only thing it doesn't have that I love is it's not my birthday month.
Sure.
And I love
and you like
birthday.
The lights, right? Like I think you've talked to.
Yeah. I like the lights.
Yeah.
But I as much as I love December, it really isn't. I really think I like January more. Because it's also going to be colder. Like, it's not that cold in December.
Mm-mm. Not here in the South, baby. Mm-mm. Not happening. All right.
Because it's still fall, technically.
Yeah, it still is. That's true. All right. We did a lot of rambling today, but I hope that as this is, if you're listening to this the day after Christmas, maybe it's eased some of your big sad.
Yeah. It's always interesting to me, too, to when we start to have a conversation and I'm like, whoa, we're really not on the same page here. Mm-hmm. We're actually very different.
Yes.
I don't mean just in this. I mean like in general. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking, I think when we're talking about creative, like creativity specifically, we, our thought processes are a lot more similar.
Yes. And maybe that's the unifying thing about creativity. Uh-huh. That it's like a language that you can use in order to connect with someone that maybe you wouldn't be able to otherwise.
Yeah. And so then it's the topics where we're like, this wasn't really about creativity at mm-hmm. all. It's those topics where I'm always like, wait, what? I don't understand what you just said.
Sometimes it can be shocking that you're uh-huh. like, you and another person can agree on something that you're like, yes, this is so fundamental. Exactly. And then you talk about something else and you're like, oh, whoa. How could we be so similar here uh-huh. and not over here? Uh-huh. And that is the beauty of human beings. That's also what I love about like going to events where people are really into one thing like Comic-Con, because you can share this thing that you're obviously really into, but then the wide range of people that you see there. Mm. I mean, sure, you have this yeah. one thing in common, but like you've got engineers and art teachers and, you know, artists and artisans and all sorts of people all in the same place liking one thing but can be so vastly different.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
That was similar to our experience when we hiked the John Muir Trail. Because like we were on trail for 21 days. You meet all kinds of people, but you don't know anything about them. Like people come from everywhere, but you have this one thing in common.
Which is a big thing. Y'all have mm-hmm. all spent a lot of time and resources.
Mm-hmm. It's like a connect. It is a what you have in common. Mm-hmm. And so then what you have in common becomes what's important.
Exactly. Very cool.
Yeah. What's your sweet?
My sweet is that I have a new shirt. So I had Christmas last night.
Oh.
And the shirt that I'm wearing right now has a cute cartoon bear on it. And it says Trinket the, I think, what does it say? The magic bear? No. Trinket the Wonder Bear. It's a bear wearing armor, and it's from the D&D live play that okay. I watch. And it's really cool because it's called a boyfriend tee, so it's really, really long.
Oh.
And so
the type of tee, not trinket. Not
trinket,
the bear.
Not the bear. The t-shirt is really long, so it's kind of got this cool fit to it. But I also love the way like the graphic and the colors, because it also kind of matches my hair right now. So I'm super into it.
It does match your hair. But you tuck your shirts in a lot, so it doesn't bother you that it's long to tuck it in. It doesn't like feel awkward.
It's thin enough. And okay. I do some very particular tucking whenever I am tucking in my shirts. Yeah. So,
yeah. I thought your sweet was going to be that you are having a sunshine day.
Oh, I mean that too.
Because wasn't that your sour last week?
It was. And maybe you can hear it in my voice, but I've had a latte today and the sun is out. So I'm feeling good. Like I needed the sunshine on my skin. I went for a little walk this morning. I made some progress. Oh, wait, was this even my sweet? Oh, no, it's my learn. I'll tell you okay. also good things from what I'm learning. But okay. yeah. So what's your sweet?
My sweet is, okay, so my sour last week was that I ran out of my big Christmas baubles that yes. I was crocheting around.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my sweet is that I figured out how to do it on the little baubles.
Oh, and they look so cute, guys. Yeah. Like,
they're little baby baubles.
Yes.
Little baby.
I mean, I would say... These are normal size, but compared to the big ones,
yeah,
I think they're wonderful. So I never asked you, what do you plan to do with these now that you've made them?
I'm just making them.
Okay.
Maybe next year I'll participate in the Christmas craft fair and sell them all for thousands of dollars.
I know. Something astronomical. They are really cool.
I do think that I've been thinking, do I want to have a tree next year? And I think I want like a skinny, like a pencil tree or mm-hmm. like something that looks kind of vintage.
Yeah.
And then I could just have these crocheted ornaments on them. I don't know.
I'll have to ask my mother-in-law because I recently helped her put up her tree and she has this really nice like pre-lit pencil tree mm-hmm. that just it may I thought of you immediately when I saw it and I was like oh
because then I could put it like somewhere else. Part of why I haven't put one up since I've had Pip because I don't want to put it in front of the window because mm-hmm. that's where she looks out
the window. Yeah.
So I think I just need to reconsider where in my house I would want to put a tree, and I think that something slimmer would do well.
Mm-hmm. You know, my mother-in-law left that tree up year round. She just didn't turn on the lights and it actually looked pretty cool because it was like thin and skinny. So yeah. It didn't necessarily read
Christmas
all the time.
Yeah.
So
my sweet is that I figured out how to do it on the little baubles.
Yeah.
They're a little bit faster.
Okay.
And we have 48 little baubles. So
I look forward to trying out because Joe let me in on her little pattern hack. So I look forward to trying out the tiny ones too.
Yeah. Well, and then I was thinking I could like make a hat or make, you know, the half the bauble is kind of a hat.
Yeah. I call them, it looks like a yarmulke when you're done, like a little, you know, like the little caps.
Oh, well, I think when you're done, it looks like too, like bigger than a yarmulke. Like, it almost looks like it would cover, because it covers half the bauble.
Yeah. How big do you think yarmulkes are?
A quarter. It just covers the top of your head. It doesn't curve down over your head like a beanie.
No, it doesn't. But I'm talking about, like, when you're making the big, like, one half of the big baubles. Uh-huh. Like, when you're finished, I mean, it's about, how big is that? Like, a diameter of six.
Okay, so it looks like a yarmulke for a person head, not what the yarmulke would look like for the ball.
Yes. You thought I was talking about a yarmulke for the bauble?
Well, the dimensions are, like the proportions of it are. Anyway, never mind.
No. Okay.
If you're listening,
sorry about that.
That was not interesting.
There you go. Sometimes you got a little misunderstanding. It happens. Okay. So that was your sweet. Here's my sour.
Yeah.
I'm traveling for Christmas. It is going to be negative degrees where I'm going. I have never experienced such things. So I was asking some people, I was like, so what do I need to do? How do I dress for that? What? I don't even know. Now here's the thing.
Are you going to be outside?
I'm not going to be outside all that much. However, my husband was like, I want to go outside and play in the snow. You know how much our dog loves the snow. We need to go experience this. I'm going to go buy snow pants. And I was like, how long are we spending outside? So I feel like I at least need to take an outfit that I can layer up enough that I can maybe be outside for a little bit. Mm-hmm. More so than just walking to a car or to a building.
Well, if you're moving too, then that will... I saw the coolest thing, okay? Maybe you can try this.
Okay.
So people made an igloo. I sent it to someone that I know that lives up north, mm-hmm. and she was like, oh yeah, people make... I was like, would you please try this out? And she said, people do that.
Okay, what is this?
So they make colored water mm-hmm. in pans and put it outside and so it freezes. So it makes
colored ice.
And then they make an igloo, but they have like solid snow blocks and then they have the colored ice block.
Yes.
And then they do like mortar. The mortar of it is like snow. So it looks like a stained glass igloo. It was amazing.
That sounds
so like,
cool.
I was like, live in that during the winter.
You're like, it's cold, but I don't care. It's beautiful.
It's supposed to be warm inside an igloo.
That is true. Well,
warm.
In the same way that we talk about animals, like, oh, their undercoat is like air conditioning for them. It helps their body temperature. Okay. It's not like having a fan blowing on you. No. It's not like having a heater on, but you're protected from the wind. Yeah. So you're warmer.
I mean, there's those places in Iceland and stuff that are green, whatever. They're like ice caves, ice castles you can stay in.
Yeah. Maybe I need to go live my best Elsa life and test out one of those.
Are you taking your Elsa cape?
What am I? I'm so glad we had this conversation, Joe. It's snowing up there. I need to be taking my Elsa costume up there. Get some good pictures.
Yeah, just layer up underneath that thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, I tend to layer up under most outfits that I've got on because I'm a cold person. Mm-hmm. So,
cool.
Yeah, anyway, so that's my sour. I'm going to have to figure out how to deal with sub-zero temperatures.
Yeah, minimally. Like,
I ain't living out there. I ain't going and hiking. Although, my husband might try to get me to go hiking.
You can also say no.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, it's too cold. No.
I'm going to stay inside and play dominoes with my family. You can go take the dog for a walk.
Yeah.
What's your sour?
Y'all go enjoy the snow outside together. Yes. My sour is my water bill.
Mm. Okay, what happened with your water bill?
It is 3 times higher than normal.
Which, folks, if you don't know, Joe is very savvy with her budget. She likes to talk about her budget. She talks about how good she's gotten at budgeting. So this is very important because you have a certain amount that you pay for water every month, right? You're like, this is how much?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess the good thing is because I pay attention to my budget,
you have money
to pay for extra water bill.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more just the sour isn't, I mean, yes, it is that it's 3 times higher, mm-hmm. but also it's just the whole thing, like that
it's the system
that you don't have a choice. I didn't choose to use more water. Something
has gone wrong in your house.
Has gone wrong, and I was using more water without me knowing it, mm-hmm. and I'm still on the hook for it.
Yeah.
And then now I'm having a plumber come out so that they can I just need to know,
hey,
what's the problem? And then, if it's a leaky pipe, that could be buku's the money.
Yeah.
But maybe my home warranty will cover it. I don't know. Anyway, the sour is specifically, I guess, the water company.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's not their fault. I know they have their own process that they work in, but I don't know why with today's technology there isn't something on my meter, because I guess they don't know till they come out and read it,
mm-hmm.
but something on my meter that is whoa, there has been an increase.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think about internet companies will throttle your internet after a certain point. If you've used too much bandwidth, they're like, all right, your internet's not going to be as fast anymore. Why doesn't the water company do that?
Right. Or let you know. Even when I got my bill, there was not anything on it that was hey, we noticed this is high. It's all in their system. They mm-hmm. could easily make a message that, hey, by the way, if someone's consumption is, it went from whatever the units is that they measure,
mm-hmm.
Typically I looked back at a few water bills. It's around 2 or 3, typically 1, but the highest I saw this summer when I was watering my yard, it was 3
mm-hmm.
to 15. Hello.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem there. Now, we don't know the ins and outs of the water company. Maybe there's reasons why this doesn't happen, but we just have some questions.
I'll tell you why it doesn't happen. Because there is only one water company.
There you go.
And so they don't have to be efficient.
Yeah.
Because there's no competition.
There it is.
So anyway, that's my sour. Also apparently my salty.
Yeah, there you go.
And my soggy.
And your soggy. Yep. A little damp over there. A little soggy. Okay. Here is what I am learning. Today, I learned about another creative nonprofit, and it just has given me a lot of new motivation for working with Make Do.
Mm.
So there's a certain creative collective that happens in San Francisco that allows neurodivergent people to come in and create art. And I just thought, how that is so cool. I love that. And it builds community, and I'm like, oh, that's... those are the same things that I want to implement here. So basically got to learn about that. It makes me feel like we're not alone. I mean, we have each other, obviously. We're never alone. But it's nice to know that there's other people carrying out that mission in other places. And I can kind of learn from them as well.
Right. It is helpful to be able to get ideas from see what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Gives us a new perspective too.
Yes. And I love the fact that we are not the same.
Right.
We have talked about we're different. But that's what makes us better and helps us learn from each other. So it was really cool. I'm going to get to share it with my kiddos and my homeschool art class. And So I'm excited about that.
That's a fun thing to be learning.
Yeah.
I am learning a new program, well, new to me, software, internet, web, whatever, called Zapier. I maybe have mentioned this before, but anyway, I'm trying to connect, figure out a faster way to get transactions entered into our QuickBooks from our website. We have to like enter stuff all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so I am figuring out a way to make it faster because I have 6 months to catch up on.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm learning.
Very cool. Getting more efficient, you know, figuring out new processes at the job.
God, this is another reason why I love the new year, because there's like time for that in the new year. I'm so excited about January.
Well, good. I'm glad you are. That's wonderful.
Also, what happens though is I don't ever get everything done I wanted to. And then maybe that's when I have my letdown, like, oh, I didn't get everything done I wanted to in January.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Cool.
That's what I'm learning.
All right.
I'm getting stopped up at the end of this podcast. I'm talking too much.
Well, I suppose it's time for us to wrap it up. Any last thoughts?
Y'all, this is the last one for this year, 2022.
Yeah. So, you know, enjoy this transition period as we go from Christmas into the new year, and we'll see you again.
And technically, you're still in Christmas, so.
Oh, yeah. According to the Advent, it's Christmas time.
Yeah. So
enjoy.
There you go. And this is episode 99.
Can't believe the next one's gonna be 100.
And what is the chances that the 100th episode would also be the first episode of a new year?
I know, man. It makes me think of in grade school, they have all the kids like for the 100th day of school. They usually wear like t-shirts or something with 100 things on them. Perhaps this was something that happened in my generation that has continued.
I've never heard of that. 100 things on it.
So sometimes they glue pom-poms or googly eyes or stickers or any sorts of things, and they just wear 100 things.
Interesting.
Yes.
I've never heard of such a thing.
It's always so, it's very fascinating to me to see what the kids show up in.
Oh, yeah. So they get to choose what they want to pick.
It's typically an at-home thing.
Yeah.
That we tell the parents, like, hey, you know, get them a t-shirt and then maybe draw 100 things on there or glue or whatever.
Yeah. I have one more random thing to share.
Yeah.
Speaking of what are the chances.
Yeah.
When I was playing Cards Against Humanity with my teens the other day. So the way you play, it's kind of similar to if you've ever played like Apples to Apples or a game where someone lays down a card and then you have cards in your hand and you're trying to like
associate those cards.
Yeah. To be like the funniest or the most fitting or whatever. So I had in my hand both Abraham Lincoln and John Wilkes Booth.
Oh my.
What are the odds that I would have both the president and the assassinator?
I don't know. That's pretty cool.
I mean, however many cards there are, like 1,000.
Yeah.
So I know probability isn't as simple as like 1 in 1,000 chance that I would have both of those cards.
Because you have to think about the cards that are already laid down and the cards that are black cards versus the white cards.
Well, I was only thinking of the white cards. Yep. But anyway, like, isn't that wild?
That is wild.
That I had both that. I also had both something about marriage and something about divorce.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Crazy. Anyway, the John Wilkes Booth and Abraham Lincoln just blew my mind.
Just showed up in your hand.
I know.
So, take that, people, and enjoy the little things as we're coming out of this holiday season.
Yeah, whether, you never know.
You never know if you're going to get...
What are the odds?
Two historical people that are connected or, you know, whatever.
Okay. Well, goodbye. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei. And visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things.